Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
If you've ever walked into a shop and you felt you were maybe robotically making a purchase that you hadn't intended to make, you might be falling for environmental nudges subtly pushing you into buying more. Now, researchers from Cambridge University recently carried out an experiment and they asked bars and pubs to sell only small and medium servings of wine for 4 weeks. And what they found out was there was an 8% decrease in the overall amount of wine consumed. So the implication there is clear: smaller glass, less wine. But the study also highlights the impact of our surroundings on our decisions. It raises questions about our susceptibility to environmental influences when it comes to excess consumption. Well, Professor Pete Lunn, head of the Behavioural Research Unit at the Economic and Social Research Institute, is here now in the studio. You're very welcome, Pete. Good to see you.
Good morning.
So, smaller glass, less wine. Are we that easily influenced?
We are, and actually behavioural scientists have been running experiments in this area for a couple of decades now, and the 8% drop is actually a smaller effect than we see in many studies, and that's probably because you were talking about people drinking in a pub where the amount they drink is probably more related to how long they stay there. Whereas if you're eating in a restaurant or at a friend's house or even at your own kitchen table, some of these effects are actually much larger. So just to give you a very, very simple idea of the impact that portions have on how much people actually consume, if you simply increase portion sizes, people will typically eat a quarter to a third more than they would if you just served them a smaller portion. Even if the food is available, they could get more. The simple fact that you put less on their plate reduces the amount they eat very considerably.
Why are we so bad at judging how much we need to eat and how much we're actually eating?
Well, it's probably, I mean, we don't know for certain, but it's probably an evolutionary thing. I mean, our systems evolved in a world where food was scarce. We're not designed for a situation where there is surplus high-energy food around us all the time. So our bodies give us feedback about being full, but they do it too slowly. And our perceptual systems are not very good at perceiving these things. So another simple example, if you eat a snack out of a snack pack instead of a smaller portion packet, you'll typically eat about 40% more. But interestingly, what those studies show is that people don't realize that they are doing that. Mm-hmm. So our perceptions
are you talking about a sharing bag of crisps, for example, the big huge bag that you're supposed to share with somebody,
that kind of thing. Okay, if you eat out of a larger packet, you will simply eat more. And the primary reason for this is that our perceptions are not very accurate. So other simple examples of this, if you serve food on a larger plate, people will eat more of it. And the consequences of this are that you end up also with the food waste problem potentially, because actually people will help themselves to more as well if you give them a larger plate. So smaller plates result in people eating less and throwing away less. And it's because our perception of the amount we're eating is very easily misled. It's just like those kind of illusions that you can produce where you put one thing next to a larger thing and it makes it look smaller. Exactly the same happens with plates and glasses. Another lovely example I like is one with glasses, where if you give people tall, thin tumblers instead of fatter, shorter tumblers, they will pour 80% more into the fatter tumbler without realizing they're doing it. So you just put a drink on the table, give them a different shaped glass, and they will literally pour a difference of 80% in how much they put into their glass. And people just don't realize this.
And we've really fallen into this trap, haven't we? Because we all know that our plates are much bigger. Like if you look at the dinner service that your parents were given for their wedding present, and you look at the plate that we served our Christmas dinner on, there's a huge difference.
So there are studies on this as well. So the average dinner plate 40 or 50 years ago was only 10 inches across, and now it's in excess of 12. And partly because the area of the circle works the way it does, that's actually really quite a large increase in the portion
and
sizes.
And we're filling it.
So we're eating just like the thing with the thin and the fatter glasses as well. Another thing that matters here is eating with other people. It turns out if you eat with someone else, you typically eat about a third more food. And if you eat with lots of other people, 4, 7 or more, it turns out you eat more than half as much again. Food is also a social thing. And that makes sense from a kind of evolutionary point of view, but our perceptual faculties are really not very good. If you ask people what they think they're doing, what they think they're doing is not what they're actually doing if you measure it.
And it seems obvious, but if we're presented with a buffet, if you're on holidays or if you go into a buffet restaurant, you will eat more, won't you, than you would if you had your meal on a plate.
Yes, you simply will. And certainly if you're eating at a buffet and they give you a large plate or a large bowl, and then you'll eat a lot more. Yes, absolutely you will.
Yeah. And we don't seem to have a device in our brains that tells us this is the amount of food that you need. You are going to survive if you only eat this amount and no more.
That is absolutely right. Our perceptions and our judgments are biased and inaccurate relative to the truth. And that's what this kind of 20 years of research shows. Now, of course, where this becomes problematic is that what it tells us is that the solutions that we're typically seeking to try to get people to eat more healthily are unlikely to work, because the standard policy solutions that we engage with are better education, lots better education about nutrition, give people better knowledge, and trying to provide people with better information as well. So kind of improved labeling and improved public information campaigns. But the problem is that even if people have the knowledge and they understand these things, if our perceptions and judgments are as inaccurate as this research suggests, and so much of our eating behavior is subconscious, as this research suggests, because people don't realize how much they're eating and drinking, then these methods, these policies are not going to have much impact.
So regardless of how much we tell ourselves, if you overeat, if you eat more than you should, if you use the bigger plate, you're going to be unhealthy, you may gain weight, you may get heart disease. We're not hearing those messages in our subconscious as loudly as we're hearing the message that tells us that we should eat what's in front of us.
I think that's right, but it also means that the message needs to change. So rather than it just being a message about, you know, information about the nutritional content of food, we actually need to give people tips and tricks. We need to get people to understand that they can control their own behavior better by, you know, using better crockery, using better glasses, organizing food in better portion size. I mean, my own lab did a study where we showed that people eat fewer chocolate snacks if you put like really visible stripes on the packet to show what a portion should be. So we put portion sizes on as kind of numbers on the back of packets. No one pays much attention to them. And actually, to be honest, they're fairly meaningless statistics anyway. Mm-hmm. If you put stripes that are highly visible on a packet, I mean, we ran an experimental study that shows that families eat packets of snacks more slowly if you put these highly visible stripes on them. But you've got to help people's perceptual systems much more. You've got to be willing to tamper with the environment that's around them. And my experience is people tend to be quite defensive and tend to resist this. I mean, we like to think that we're in control. We like to think, oh, just give me all the information, I'll make up my own mind. We don't like to think we're susceptible to these kind of perceptual tricks.
You've seen that in research, that people get offended when you say, if I give you this big package, you might overeat, or you will overeat.
Yeah, so we've also measured people's willingness to support more intrusive policies that might regulate more strongly and might make our environment easier to resist temptation. So, you know, making, for example, stronger regulations about what serving sizes you can give people in takeaways, things like taking away high energy foods from around payment places where, you know, around the tills where people are tempted to buy something they were not otherwise going to buy. These kind of more intrusive policies that change the environment, the research suggests they're more likely to work, but a lot of people don't like them because they think it's too much of an intrusion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they like to think they're in control and that if you just give them the information, the education, they know what they're doing.
It's very hard to be in control because you mentioned there the pay points, and let's look at petrol stations. Like, people will remember back in the 80s, you go to the petrol station to buy petrol and maybe some windscreen wiper fluid, windscreen fluid, and not much else. And now it is a smorgasbord of delicious, you know, food, yeah. Everything from your dinner to your snack at 11.
Yeah, every time you go to buy petrol now, you've got to resist temptation, and sometimes you've even got to do it while there's a gentle waft of bacon kind of coming across you at about 11 o'clock in the morning from a nearby counter. But it isn't just petrol stations, it's everywhere. I mean, even in kind of just general waiting areas, we now have machines that are pushing high energy snacks at you all the time. I mean, it's just on the other side. All you've got to do is walk over there and tap your phone, and you might be sitting in a waiting area for half an hour while that machine is there the whole time trying to tell you to have a packet of crisps or some chocolate or so on. So we've built an environment in which it is very hard to resist temptation, and also where people are struggling to accurately see how much they're consuming. So when experts talk about the obesogenic environment, which is this sort of piece of academic jargon that is used, this is what they're talking about. They're basically saying, look, you know, we've built a system that works very well for food companies selling more of their products and is really good for availability. If you're genuinely hungry and you want something, you can get it. But its overall effect, because of how we're wired, essentially, is very negative, and it's causing people to overeat.
So if it has been decided then that the environmental nudges to overconsume work, we need to change the environment so the nudges remind us and tell us and instruct us not to overeat.
There's certainly scientific evidence that would show that if we do those kind of things, it is likely to have a better impact than the education and information interventions that we've done so far. But of course, the issue there is, are people going to be willing to accept those kind of more intrusive...
Mm-hmm. But what does that look like then?
Well, I think it looks like a world in which high-energy foods and foods that are sold in large portions are still available but are harder to get hold of. They tend not to be in more convenient places. They tend not to be in places that tempt you. It looks like a world in which portion sizes might be, you know, big stripes on packets that, you know, are pretty ugly from a marketing point of view but are more helpful in terms of how much you want to eat. It might be a world in which everyone accepts that we put thinner glasses on tables and smaller glasses on tables and go back to eating off 10-inch plates, you know.
Okay.
And that we, you know, do we regulate that? Do we force restaurants and canteens to do that kind of... I mean, this is where it gets difficult because that's the kind of thing that people might not be willing to
Very
accept.
Very difficult.
The science suggests it would probably work.
All right, Pete, I'm getting nudged to go to an ad break now, but thank you very much for coming in. That's Professor Pete Lunn.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.